भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ओम ज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिकाकांता राधाकांता नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। टुडे वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 13 टेक्स्ट नंबर 54। सत्य ज्ञान अनंत आनंद मात्रैक रस मूर्तयः अस्पृष्टा भूरी महात्म्या अपि ही उपनिषद दृशां। सत्य ज्ञानानंत आनंद मात्रैक रसमूर्तयः अस्पृष्ट भूरि महात्म्या अपि उपनिषद दृशम्। सत्य ज्ञानानंत आनंद मात्रैक रसमूर्तयः अस्पृष्ट भूरि महात्म्या अपि उपनिषद दृशम्। सत्य ज्ञानानंत आनंद मात्रैक रसमूर्तयः अस्पृष्ट भूरि महात्म्या अपि हि उपनिषदं दृशाम्। महात्म्या Mataji is? Satya, eternal, Jnana, having full knowledge, Ananta, unlimited, Ananda, fully blissful, Matra, only, Ekarasa, always existing, Murtayaha, forms, Asprishta, Asprishta Bhuri Mahatmya, whose great glory is not touched. Api, even, he, because, Upanishad Drisham, by those jnanis who are engaged in studying the Upanishads. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Vishnumurtis had all eternal, unlimited forms, full of knowledge and bliss, and existing beyond the influence of time. Their great glory was not even to be touched by the jnanis engaged in studying the Upanishads. Purport. Mere Shastra Gyan or knowledge in the Vedas does not help anyone understand the personality of Godhead. Only one who is favored or shown mercy by the Lord can understand Him. This is also explained in the Upanishads. The Mundaka Upanishad 3.2.3 Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyo Na Medhasa Na Bahunena Shrutena Yam Evaisha Vrunate Tena Labhyas Tyasseva Atma Vivrunate Tanum Swam. The Supreme Lord is not obtained by expert explanations, by vast intelligence, or even by much hearing. He is obtained only by one whom He Himself chooses. To such a person, He manifests His own form. One description given of Brahman is Satyam Brahma Ananda Rupam. Brahman is the absolute truth and complete Ananda or bliss. The forms of Vishnu, the Supreme Brahman, were one, but they were manifested differently. The followers of the Upanishads, however, cannot understand the varieties manifested by Brahman. This proves that Brahman and Paramatma can actually be understood only through devotion, as confirmed by the Lord Himself in Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhaktyaham ekaya grayaha. To establish that Brahman indeed has a transcendental form, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives various quotations from the Shastras. In the Shvetasvatara Upanishad, the Supreme Lord is described as Aditya Varanam Tamasaha Parastat. He whose self-manifest form is luminous like the sun and transcendental to the darkness of ignorance. Ananda Matra Ajaram Puranam Ekam Shantam Bahuda Drishyamanam. The Supreme is blissful with no tinge of unhappiness. Although He is the oldest, He never ages. And although one, He is experienced in different forms. Sarve Nityah Shashvatascha Dehastasya Paratmanah. All forms of that Supreme Person are eternal. This is from Mahavaraha Puran. The Supreme Person has a form with hands and legs and other personal features but his hands and legs are not material. Bhaktas know that form of Krishna or Brahman is not at all material. Rather, Brahman has a transcendental form and one is absorbed in it, and when one is absorbed in it, being fully developed in bhakti, one can understand him. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. The Mayavadis, however, cannot understand this transcendental form, for they think that it is material. We'll continue the purport to some time, because it's a very long purport. So, in teaching, there are three kinds of teaching. One is called as didactic, the second one is interactive, and the third one is experiential. In the didactic, the speaker speaks, the audience listens, and that is the way the knowledge transfers. In interactive, the speaker speaks, but the audience, he interacts with the audience, asks their responses, and by that, the learning process becomes more easy. But the experiential learning is something where nobody is sitting. It's just that everybody experiences that knowledge. They are trying to teach the kids nowadays in the schools, with experiential learning, giving them a hands-on experience of the thing. So here, Lord Brahma, he knows that Lord Krishna has a form of Sat Chit and Ananda. He is the first person who got the knowledge. Ishvara Paramaha Krishna Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. Anadiradir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. He knows everything. But somehow or other, because of the doubt, whether is he the same Supreme Lord, he went on and the Lord allowed him to have an experience of how his form is Sat Chit and Ananda. So here, actually, as you see the verse, this is the realization of Brahmaji. He's seeing the Vishnu Murtis, the same cowherd boys and calves, turn into Vishnu Murtis with four hands, having amazing effulgence. And here, he's realizing that they have eternal, unlimited forms, full of knowledge and bliss. So he knew it, that the form of the Lord is Sat Chit Ananda. But here, he got an experiential, hands-on experience of how the form of the Lamb, if you read the verses before, when he comes, he gets literally bewildered. What's happening? Here are they, and I have kept them hiding also. So who are these? So suddenly, when all the cows and the calves are moving, they turn towards Brahmaji. And suddenly he's wondering, why is everybody looking at me? And suddenly they turn blue. And from them appear the Vishnu Murtis. Prabhupada is amazingly writing the purport, and he's giving us explanation one after another that how these forms were not the illusory expansions of the Lord. They were the Vishnu Murtis themselves. And until and unless one gets the mercy of the Lord, one may not be able to understand what the form of the Lord is. We'll see the amazing presentation of Srila Prabhupada, the idea as he's taking. The first part of the purport, Srila Prabhupada has taken many points from what Srila Vishwanathaswami Thakur explains in Sarartha Darshani, giving so many detailed explanations of how the Brahman, it is said that one who reads Upanishads, Upanishad means one who becomes close to the Lord. And many times the norm is that one who reads Upanishad gets the impersonal understanding of the Lord. But here, from the Upanishad, Srila Vishwanatha Thakur has extracted these verses and is proving the point that how Brahman has a form. But for those readers to understand those lines needs the mercy of the Lord. Just like the followers of Shankaracharya, the last words, the last hymns, composed by Shankaracharya, Bhajagovindam, 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 Mudamate. Which is clear that, oh fools, worship Govinda. Nothing will help you at the time of death. But what do the followers of Shankaracharya say? They say that the spiritual master of Adi Shankaracharya was named Govinda. So, Shiva Shankaracharya is saying that, you know, not that Govinda, but the spiritual master. So until and unless you get the mercy of the Supreme Lord, the devotion is there in the heart, one will not be able to understand what is the beauty of the Supreme Lord. The verse is, their great glory was not even to be touched by the jnanis engaged in the studying the Upanishads. Here, we are talking about the personal form. But Srila Vishwanatha Thakur begins with, what to speak of the personal form? They cannot even understand properly Brahman. What is Brahman? They only partially understand what Brahman is. And then he is giving such amazing explanations. He begins with the Mundak Upanishad, saying that whoever you are, however proficient you are in understanding the Shastra, whatever expert explanations you might give, whatever vast intelligence you might have, and whatever you have heard, but until and unless the Lord agrees to show up Himself, you can't see. The foremost disciple of Shripad Shankaracharya, Padmapad, he was before a devotee of Narasimha Dev, and he, as a child, was worshipping in a forest, Lord Narasimha, and was doing severe austerities to have the darshan of Sri Narasimha Dev. And there, a hunter came, and he asked him, my dear child, what are you doing? So, Padmapad, who was not called Padmapad then, he was called as Sanandan, asked him, what are you doing? He said, I am actually meditating on the form of the Lord and I want to take his darshan. So, okay, he said, actually he didn't say that he's Supreme Lord. He said, I am worshipping on Narasimha Dev. He said, who is this Narasimha Dev? He said, he has a half lion and half man form. So he said, the hunter said, you know, I am in this forest for past 40 years. I know that every inch of this forest. And there is no such animal that exists. So, Sanandan said, he exists. I know it for sure. And I will perform my austerities until and unless I get his darshan. So the hunter, being compassionate on this, you know, such a fragile body, you know, why? Said, don't worry. I will search for you. I will take that responsibility of searching. And if I don't search him by the end, I will hang myself. You know, he took such a drastic step. So whole day he was shouting in the forest, Narasimha, Narasimha, Narahari, Narahari. And you know, nobody appeared. But at the end of the day, as he was frustrated as to, you know, where is this amazing animal to be found, who's half lion and who's half man. So suddenly, as he was about to hang himself with the rope, suddenly Narasimha Dev appeared. He said, oh, here you are. He said, where were you? Whole day I was searching for you. Couldn't you come a little bit before? What if I would have killed myself? So what did he do? The same noose that he was going to hang, he tied it around the Lord and said, now you come with me. And he dragged him to Sanandan. And he said, oh my little boy, look at him. Here he is. This is the person you are looking at. And as Sanandan saw, he could not see anything. He could just see that the rope is hanging in the air. So he said, who? Where? What are you talking about? I can't see anything. He said, what? You can't see? And he kind of, you know, just whacked. Not whacked the Lord, but whacked, you know. He said, it's an animal. So the Lord gave a roar. And Sanandan could hear that. And he could understand, my God, you know, he is actually caught. Narasimha Dev. And he fervently started praying to the Lord. And Narasimha Dev said, don't think I have come here because of your austerities. Because of the intense desire to see me, and that intense lowlyam, that longing to see me, I have appeared to this hunter. And because of your austerities, somehow that you are able to hear my voice. So don't think that until unless I desire to see you, you can see me. Many times this happens also. You know, when you go to a company, when you move around in the company, there will be so many staff moving around, and you might think that the person who is running around the most is the person who is controlling there. But until unless the topmost boss, you know, he arranges for you to see him, you can't reach him. You know, normally in our journey of self-discovery course, we give this example of if one wants to see the president of, you know, any country, you know the president, and you know president might know you, might not know you, but it's not so easy to go to him. Until unless you please his subordinate, his sons or his relatives, and he arranges that you come and see him. What is the example? I think was it Jimmy Carter, president, when he was doing a campaign, and at that time when he was seeing the videos of the campaign, and there he saw some Hare Krishna devotees shouting behind, and he saw that and he thought that they are campaigning for me, and he became very happy, and he told his secretary that man there who's shouting for me, I want to have lunch with him tomorrow. And suddenly this secretary was in a big puzzle as to where on earth will I find this person. So he had to do an intense research, find out who that person is, which temple he is in. And he told him, the president wants to see you. We might stand outside the White House and shout, but it's not that necessarily you'll be taken inside. But here, when the president wants to see that person, when he agrees to see that person, then only will that chance will come when he can see the audience, get the audience of the president. And then he was called and he had an audience with the president and had lunch. So we see how the words of Upanishads are so true, that until unless the Lord decides, the Lord arranges for the devotee to see. Now we see here, Lord Brahma is looking at the beautiful forms of the Vishnu Murti. It is not that the cowherd boys were less beautiful or less effulgent. It is just that the beauty resides in the eye of the beholder. He could not see that effulgence coming as they are cowherd boys. As cowherd boys, Anand Vrindavan Champu mentions very beautifully the pastime of how the whole thing happened. It mentions that how after killing Aghasur, Lord Krishna with his beautiful nature, he emanated beautiful nectar from his body. And those cowherd boys who were killed because of the poisonous venom of Aghasur, they had almost died. But as this nectar emanated from the body of the Lord, they all were revived. And then Lord pierced open the body of Aghasur and came out, just like the sun comes out behind two mountains. And all the cowherd boys came out. The Lord, as he came out, his body was like a beautiful blue cloud, having a beautiful garland till his knees. And as he came out, all the cowherd boys, they started asking him, how did you do this? How did you, revive us when we were killed by the poison? And here, Krishna, when a small group of boys, they achieve some feat, and the person who achieves, he starts bragging. So Lord Krishna says that, I am the perfect antidote for any poison. He's saying, I am the perfect antidote to neutralize any poison. And also, I can kill the poison giver. And those who taste me or taste this medicine, they will taste sweet rasa. And it tastes like honey. There's a joking mood happening. And then all the boys are laughing and embracing Krishna one after another. And one of them is, you know, he started bragging, saying, "Didn't I tell you? No, he has already killed Bakasura, he has already killed Putana. So he will kill Agasura also, he will kill this demon also." So as they were bragging, you know, many times, it was time for party for all the demigods, you know. And just like, you know, whenever there is a festival, all the devotees, they don't lose a chance to dance, to celebrate. So here, there was a celestial jubilation happening. To see the Agasur being killed. Agasur was a very, very powerful demon. And whenever the powerful demon is killed, you know, the demigods were having a celebration. There's a beautiful mention of how the celebration went through. The demigods started offering prayers. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, they started glorifying the Lord. And the whole universe was echoing with these prayers. Different kinds of drums, like the bheris and the dundubis, were playing everywhere. All the wives of Gandharvas and Vidyadharas, with their high pitches, started singing beautiful songs. The wives of Siddhas started playing mridangas. And Urvashi and all other damsels from the heavenly planet started dancing ecstatically. The best of the Kinnaras started singing sweet songs. The celestial denizens were submerged in this beautiful sound waves of the ocean of the celestial jubilation. And out of that jubilation, they collected the flowers from the Nandankanan forest or the garden of heavenly planets and started showering on Krishna. And amongst that, there was a very sharp sound of a drum, and that drum was of Lord Shiva. He started playing his damru and started dancing ecstatically. So much so that as he was dancing, the nectar from the moon started dropping. You know, the crescent moon on the head of Lord Shiva, it started dropping down. And as those drops dropped on the garland he was wearing, and what garland Lord Shiva wears? The garland of skulls. So as the nectar was falling on the skulls, the skulls started becoming, assuming bodies, and they started dancing. So looking at this amazing scene, the demigods could not control their laughter. You know, it was a, Lord Shiva is dancing, and suddenly as a necklace, it becomes, you know, animated and starts dancing. So such amazing jubilation was happening. So here, Lord Krishna, he started telling the cowherd boys, "Okay, it's time you gather all the calves and let's take prasad. It's time. It's noon time. It's time for prasad." So as he went ahead, you know, he was like, you know, as our yatra managers, they go ahead and see the place, you know, which is the proper place, appropriate place. So here, Krishna, wanting to see the comfort of his friends, the supreme most comfort of his friends, you know, after having such a supreme display of majesty and power, you know, rather than taking all the praise, he was more interested in serving his little friends. So he went ahead and saw in the forest and said, "That is the best place under that tree. I cannot see any birds flying above." You know, normally it's a problem, like some, you know, earlier when we used to sit in the Lakshminarayan garden to take prasad, you know, we never knew when, you know, there will be a unusual dish in the plate. You know, suddenly there will be a bird dropping from a tree. Or, you know, this, you know, amazing fruits, figs, you know, this wild figs falling down and spoiling the whole area. So here the Lord is saying, you know, "See, I can't see any birds flying over. And there is peace here, silence here, and there are no footmarks. It means that there are no animals going from here. Yamuna is flowing nearby, so we have plenty of water. And the trees, there were these bunch of trees, they were growing, and all their branches had intertwined in themselves, forming a roof." So the Lord said, "Okay, let's sit here. It's the best place to sit." And as the Lord sat in the beautiful Pitambar, shining like lightning, it seemed like as if he is the whirl of lotus, the center of the lotus. If you see, it's yellow in color, which has, you know, kind of orangish or chrome yellow dots on it. So as he was sitting, it looked like as if he's the whirl. And he was a whirl of 1,000-petaled lotus. As 1,000 petals were flowing, he could see so many cowherd boys sitting. And the most intimate cowherd boys were sitting close. And slowly, slowly, there was this group of cowherd boys sitting. The Anand Vrindavan Champu mentions that this was, you know, the closest group, the closest petals were of shape, were of a hue of reddish tinge. And as the cowherd boys formed more and more formation, it looked like a gradation from red to orange to yellow to green to blue to indigo and to violet. So it looked like as if Krishna is the sun, and all these cowherd boys were like a wave of rainbow moving around that sun. So such beautiful description, Sri Kavi Karnapur can see. Lord Brahma could not see, because at that time he was playing the part of somebody who is covered with false ego. So after this beautiful exchange, as he was sitting, you know, everybody could think, that everybody was seeing that Lord Krishna is looking at them, you know, which proves the point of, you know, Sarvatra Pani Paramtan, that the eyes, the face, the hand, the legs of the Lord are everywhere. Then suddenly, Krishna started telling the cowherd boys, remove your tiffins. And how the tiffins were? A normal bag covered with cloth and tied to a stick. So they opened a stick and they kept all these fruit items, all the food items on different plates. The plates made of flowers, leaves. Some kept on the chadars, some kept on the thighs, and some kept on the beautiful lines of their hands. And everybody, the first thing they did was offered whatever they had to Krishna. And Krishna, with a beaming smile, speaking sweet words, you know, it mentions how he was moving his hands in different beautiful mudras. He was pleasing the heart of his beautiful cowherd boys. And in return, they were telling funny jokes to Krishna, and Krishna was responding by having a beautiful laughter. And in such exchange was going on, there was beautiful exchange of food, words, smile, jokes. And amidst of that, Lord Brahma suddenly thought that, you know, maybe I should test the Lord. So such a beautiful description given. The cowherd boys and the whole description is beautiful. Understanding that they are not the human beings of this world. They are special people. But because of the avaranitmika shakti of the Lord, it could not be seen that who they are. It mentions how they were smiling, how they were speaking. As they were speaking, it seemed like the radiance of their teeth was covering the entire face and was flowing like nectar. You know, just imagining that is so amazing. You know, I was just thinking about it, you know, like, he's realizing it in this verse. He's understanding it. But how do you understand, how do you see and understand the form being Sat Chit and Ananda? For us, when we understand Sat Chit and Ananda, we take the material parameter of how the matter has qualities. Matter, the opposite is spirit. So the qualities of matter, the opposite will be qualities of the spirit. The matter is extinguishable, it will vanquish. It is not eternal. Which means spirit is eternal. I don't understand what I know 2 minutes, what I said 2 minutes before. So I'm not full of knowledge. The matter is not full of knowledge, but the Lord, the spirit is full of knowledge. And there is always so much of suffering going on in this life. So I understand that matter is full of suffering. But as you see, by this theory of 180 degree, you know, qualities, I understand that the spirit is fully blissful. But to see it and realize it, you know, it's so lucrative that, you know, he's able to understand that yes, this Vishnumurti is are forms of full knowledge, bliss and eternity. So I was just reading few question and answers given by Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. Such amazing insight he gives as to how can we understand spirit by material senses. If we understand, you know, just like as we are explaining blue, we are explaining Krishna is a blue boy. So how do you understand? Krishna is blue and is a boy, so a blue boy. So how do you understand that what we are seeing is spiritual, or what we are imagining is spiritual? So the explanation was given that when we imagine something, that imagination is not the exact description, but definitely it is indicative. It gives you a general idea of what Krishna looks like. There's a vast gulf of difference in what a pure devotee can see and what a non-devotee or a neophyte can see. When we see, you know, when we take darshan of Radha Gopinath, we might see the symmetry, we might see the, you know, different beads put, we might see the colors. But when a pure devotee sees, he sees the Supreme Person standing there and having exchange with him. Oblivious of what the externals are. But when we see, we try to match it with the explanation of Shastra. And Srila Vishnuacharya Thakur explains that the whole Bhagavad Gita is full of the instructions. You know, remember me, think of me. If Krishna knows that the person has material senses, then how can he expect him to think of him? So Srila Vishnuacharya Thakur says that when the devotee is thinking about Krishna, he is making an attempt according to the Shastra. How does Krishna look? And when, in such a way as he goes on remembering Krishna according to the Shastra, he pleases Krishna, and the pleasure potency of the Lord, the Ladini Shakti of the Lord, enters the heart of that devotee and then gives him that divine vision to see the Lord face to face. Very, very interesting explanation. What is required is devotional service to the Lord. What is required is that attitude of serving the Lord and understanding His form, not with a, you know, scholarly explanation, but an explanation which will help me to serve the Lord. So, reading the purport ahead, Srila Prabhupada is saying, now he has, up till here, he has mentioned about how the Brahman has form, and how just by reading Upanishads, one will not get the darshan of the Lord. But now, you know, Srila Prabhupada is using Nyaya here, you know, talking from both the sides. Transcendental form of a Supreme Personality of Godhead in His person are so great that the impersonal followers of Upanishads cannot reach the platform of knowledge to understand them. Particularly, the transcendental forms of the Lord are beyond the reach of the impersonalists who can only understand through the studies of Upanishads that the Absolute Truth is not matter and that Absolute Truth is not materially restricted by limited potency. Yet, although Krishna cannot be seen through Upanishads, in some places it is said that Krishna can in fact be known in this way. Upanishadam Purusham. He is known by the Upanishads. This means that one is purified by Vedic knowledge. When one is purified by Vedic knowledge, one is then allowed to enter into devotional understanding. Mad bhakti labhate param. Brahma bhuta prasannatma na shochati na kangshati. Sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhakti labhate param. If we see this series of verses, you know, Krishna is giving a short crash course of Brahman realization in the 18th chapter. How he is mentioning one's intelligence is purified by reading Shastra, only then one can enter the realm of devotional service and continue, you know, to attain, to contain and sustain. One requires Shastric knowledge. Why? Because, you know, Prabhupada here, I'll just continue. Tat shraddha dhana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pashyanti atmani chatmanam bhaktya shruta gihite. The seriously inquisitive student or sage well equipped with knowledge and detachment, realizes that absolute truth by rendering devotional service in terms of what he has heard from the Vedanta Shruti. The word Vedanta Shruta Grihita refers to Vedanta knowledge, not sentimentality. Shruta Grihita is sound knowledge. One needs to hear and read about the Supreme Lord, because out of sentiment one might be attached to the form of Krishna. One might be attached to serving Krishna. But because this attachment is based on sentimentality, which is based on our fickle mind, which will change any time, to keep that attachment properly ground rooted, what we need is the strength of Shastric knowledge. Siddhanta boliya chitte na karo alas, iha haite Krishna lagi sudrata manas. One should not be lazy. No, it's a very, very apt verse. I'm very, very grateful to the authorities and all the audience to allowing me to speak on this, you know, because I require this the most. No, you might serve the Lord, but until unless you have the proper understanding with proper hearing and proper reading, your serving will be of very temporary nature, because very soon that serving will become hackneyed, will become monotonous, and that rasa of serving will evaporate, because that is based on our sentimentality. So what is required is Siddhanta. And as Prabhupada is saying, not sentimentality, but Vedantic knowledge. Lord Vishnu, Brahmadas realized, is the reservoir of all truth, knowledge and bliss. He is the combination of these three transcendental features, and he is the object of worship of the followers of Upanishads. Brahma realized that all the different forms of cows, boys and calves transformed into Vishnu forms were not transformed by mysticism of the type that a yogi or a demigod can display by specific powers invested in him. The cows, calves and boys transformed into Vishnu murtis or Vishnu forms were not displays of Vishnu Maya or Vishnu energy, but were Vishnu himself. You know, this is like the realization of the transcendental Vedic mathematics of Om Purnamidam Purnamadam Purna Purnamudachyate, that 1 minus 1 is 1 and 1 plus 1 is 1. The Vishnu forms have come out of Lord Krishna expanded, but they have the full potency of the Lord. And because he has come out from the Lord, it does not mean the Lord has reduced his potency. The Lord has the same potency, and what has come out of the Lord expanded has the same potency as the Lord. The respective qualification of Vishnu and Vishnu Maya are just like those of fire and heat. In heat, there is qualification of fire, namely warmth, and yet heat is not fire. The manifestation of Vishnu forms of the boys, calves and the calves, was not like heat, but was like fire. They were all actually Vishnu. Factually, the qualification of Vishnu is full truth, full knowledge and full bliss. Another example may be given with material objects, which may be reflected in many, many forms. For example, the sun is reflected in many water pots. But the reflections of the sun in many water pots are not actually the sun. There is no actual heat and light from the sun in the pot, although it appears as a sun, but each and every one of the forms of Krishna assumed was fully Vishnu. After speaking the whole thing, first he has mentioned of how reading Upanishads, you can't see Krishna. Then he's saying, reading Upanishad is a necessity. It is not the only prerequisite, but it has to be accompanied with devotional service. And now, Srila Prabhupada is writing the punch at the end, the few lines. You know, he's saying, we should therefore discuss Srimad Bhagavatam daily, as much as possible, the discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then everything will be clarified. For Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedic literatures. So he's saying how Upanishads is important for reading, but you don't need to go anywhere. Just read Srimad Bhagavatam. Just read Srimad Bhagavatam once a week. No, daily. Discussions daily. And one day it will get over. Start over again. But daily read Srimad Bhagavatam and discuss. What will that provide us? They will provide us more clarification. Nigam kalpataror galitam phalam It was written by Vyasadeva Mahamuni Krite when he was self-realized. Thus, the more we read Srimad Bhagavatam, the more its knowledge becomes clear. Each and every verse is transcendental, not to miss out anything. So here at the end, Srila Prabhupada is again emphasizing how the basics are so very important. The reading, the discussion, that consistency of doing the sadhana day in, day out, not neglecting, but doing the chores of devotional service again and again, with the mood of submission, with the mood of understanding that this is required for me as urgency. And then only then, the clarification, the realization will come, and will not get bewildered by the statements of Shastra or by the explanations of impersonalists. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We have overtime, so I'm not taking any questions. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande, Antakoti Vaishnava Vrinda ki.